Come with me, beloved. Let's open the book, God's book. Let's read his book on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Let's listen to him as he appears to those sitting in darkness, upon whom the light is dawn, those that will have their gloom pass away, because the light of life has come. Let's listen to him as he calls his disciples and says, "Follow me," as they leave their boats, as they leave their fathers, because they've heard the voice of the Son of God. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been taken into custody, he withdrew to the Galilee. He was coming to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, which is by the sea, to the hometown where he would settle in Capernaum. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, and we want to start at verse 12. It says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into the Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and he settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." This was to fulfill what was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, which is by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light had dawned." What was happening in this region? Prophecy was being fulfilled. But how did Jesus happen to leave Nazareth and to come to the sea? Well, I want us to go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 30. And as we do, I want to remind you that Luke is the chronological gospel. So what you do is you slot everything in chronologically into the Gospel of Luke. It lays out the events as they happened and in order, which was what Luke's purpose was to put in order the things that Jesus did during his ministry. I want us to look at Luke chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, "When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph." His public ministry has begun, but it did not begin before, first, that he was baptized, and second, that he was tempted by the devil. And so in Luke chapter 4, it talks about the temptation by Satan. And then in verse 14, it says this, "And when Jesus returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread all around the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read." Now, you have to understand, what was a synagogue? Because the Old Testament does not talk about synagogues. The Old Testament does not mention synagogues. But the synagogues came into being during the Intertestament period. They were the place where, no longer being able to go to the temple, no longer being able to study, they went and they formed a synagogue. They had to have a minion. They had to have a certain number of men before they could meet together and before they could have prayer. So they would gather a minion, which was 9 men, and there they would meet, there they would pray, there they would take the sacred scrolls, open them, read them, and discuss them. In the various countries around the world where the diaspora were, where the dispersed ones were, the synagogue became the center of Jewish life, and many other things took place around that synagogue. So this is why Jesus is going into the synagogues and why he is teaching in the synagogues. It was customary for someone to come into the synagogue, and if they knew he was new, they would say, "Have you anything to say to us? Anything to tell us?" And then Jesus would begin to do his teaching. It was by the sea that all these little villages were found. It was by the sea that he went from village to village teaching. But he also goes into Nazareth in verse 16, and it says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book," literally the word is scroll, "and he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" Now we're going to see later that the poor that he's talking about are the poor in spirit, those who know their need of God. It says, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." This is what Jesus was sent to do. Now, if we would read on in Isaiah, then it would take us to the second coming of Jesus. But this is about the first coming of Christ. And it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Can you imagine? He's reading the ancient prophet Isaiah. Now, over a millennium and a half, here it is, finally being fulfilled. Oh, precious one, what is the lesson for you and for me? The lesson is that we live by faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And for all these years, they lived in faith, waiting for the fulfillment of the scriptures. Are you living in faith right now? Are you waiting for the fulfillment of a promise that God has given to you? Are you waiting and praying? Are you clinging to him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man? Asking God to fulfill his word, asking God to fulfill his promise. Oh, precious one, listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Do not despair. What God has promised, he will fulfill. It is in his time. It is in his way. But he watches over his word to perform it. And that's what he was doing that day in Nazareth in the synagogue. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at his gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son?" Of course, they knew who Joseph was. Joseph was a man from Nazareth. And then he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.' And he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. There were many, many widows in the land at that time. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." What is he saying? He's saying, listen, what I'm bringing, the message that I am bringing, is not for everyone. It is not for everyone. Everyone is not going to get the blessing. You may say, "Okay, we heard what you did in Capernaum. Now do it here in your hometown." And he says, listen, I am not sent, in essence, to everyone. And when he said that to them, and they were the people of his own hometown, he was the son of Joseph. They had watched this young man grow. They had watched him for 30 years since Joseph brought his family back from Egypt and settled in Nazareth. They had watched him. They had maybe wiped his nose. They had maybe talked to him along the way. They had maybe met him at the well there. But in all of this, they were being told, hey, the message I have is not for everyone. The healing that I have is not for everyone. And it says, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill, to throw him down on the cliff. They didn't want him. They didn't want to hear what they didn't want to hear. I want to ask you a question, precious one. Are you selective about the word of God? Do you want to hear about the love of God, but not the wrath or the judgment of God? Do you want to hear how God loves you, but you don't want to hear how God wants you to be righteous? Do you want God to coddle you and not give you the whole book of truth? You just want to hear what you want to hear. That's what these men were like. And so all of a sudden, having had Jesus' words bless their hearts, now his words pierce their hearts. And the minute his words start to pierce their hearts, they want to get rid of him. They want to throw him off of the brow of the hill. But it's not his time, and that's not the way he's going to die. And so this is what it says. But he, passing through their midst, he went his way, and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. He comes and he settles in the region of the Sea of Galilee. He's no longer in Nazareth. They have rejected him. They don't want him. They want to get rid of him. And so he walks away. Oh, beloved, you're going to see him later on telling his disciples as he chooses the 12. When you go into these cities, if they don't receive your word, my word, then shake the dust off of your feet and go on your way. So now we come to the setting in Matthew. And as we come to the setting in Matthew, I want you to know that I am not going to be taking all the Gospels and all the events and putting them together. Because instead, we are focusing on the Gospel of Matthew, a Gospel that was written with a very, very clear purpose, a purpose for you and a purpose for me, to show us that Jesus is the King, that he is the one who has a kingdom, and that if we want to belong to his kingdom, we have to submit to the King. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened. Welcome back to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way by the sea, the place where those sitting in darkness saw a great light. As you study the book of Matthew, you notice that what happens is Matthew keeps quoting scripture. He keeps quoting prophecies because the time of fulfillment has come. I want to take us back to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, because this is where you find the quote from Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. And he did that because the northern kingdom had gone into idolatry, because the northern kingdom had turned their back on God." So he's speaking about what happened when the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by Assyria. But now what is he saying? He's no longer going to treat that land with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. He says, the rod of their oppressor, as in the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in battle tumult and every cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For the bondage is going to be broken. They're going to be set free. Why? For a child will be born to us. A son will be given. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Now listen, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Here is the one that is fulfilling the scriptures as we saw. Here is the child that has been born. Here is the Son of God that has been given. Here is the mighty God. Here is the eternal Father. Here is the Prince of Peace. And all of a sudden, the government of our lives moves to his shoulders and the yoke is broken. The burden is taken away. It was a glorious day as he began to walk by the shores of the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. It says in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this is beginning his public ministry. His public ministry is able to begin after he has been baptized, after he has been led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, as he has been proven to be without sin, as he has proven that he is not going to listen to the one that offered him the kingdoms of this world, but he is going to listen to his Father. It says, as he was walking by the Sea of the Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I have a new profession for you, and that is to be a fisher of men. That is to help me bring people into the kingdom of heaven. Well, when he did this, I want you to know that this is not the very first time he saw him. Because when we go to the Gospel of John, when we go to chapter 1 to verse 35, we see from the Gospel of John that he met them before this. So I want us to look at John chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, again, on the next day, and this is after the baptism, he says, again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. These men that he is calling were formerly disciples or followers or learners of John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked, and this is John, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and he stayed with them for the day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard him speak, he's going to identify them now, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found first his own brother, Simon, and this is Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." We have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So I want you to know and understand that it wasn't the first time that he saw them in the Gospel of Matthew. But he knows that these are men that have recognized that he is the Messiah. They have heard him speak. They have been followers of John the Baptist, but now John the Baptist has done as he is supposed to do. He has pointed them to Jesus. Oh, precious one, you and I are never to draw disciples or followers after us. We are always to point them to Jesus. And if you point them to yourself, you're in trouble. Well, he sees them and he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. They left their boat, they left their profession, they left their father, they left their family, and they followed him. When Jesus calls, beloved, it is time for you and I to follow. It is time for us to leave everything and to follow him. What does he want us to do? He wants us to become participants in bringing others into the kingdom of heaven, to bring them to the knowledge of God, so that they might move out of darkness into light, so that they might move from gloom into glory, so that they might move from death into life. Jesus was going throughout all the Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The Messiah had come. The Messiah was here. And now the people sitting in darkness saw the great light. And what about you, beloved? Have you seen the light of the life of the world? His name is Jesus.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017, and we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
As I sit here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, having the privilege of teaching you the Gospel of Matthew, you and I have to pause again, beloved, as we do with every program, and say, okay, God, what is our precept for life? What is the standard? What is the teaching? What is the principle that I am to live by? We have gained knowledge, and knowledge is very, very important, because with knowledge, then, we are to have understanding. We are to know truth, and we are to live in the light of it. God says in Hosea, his people were perishing for a lack of knowledge. And the reason that Zebulun and Naphtali were sitting in darkness and gloom in Isaiah was they perished for a lack of knowledge. But then we go from knowledge to application. And what is the application? Well, I want you to notice two time phrases. The same time phrase, but repeated two times. He calls Peter. And he calls Andrew, his brother, and he tells them to come and follow him, and he will make them fishers of men. And in verse 20, it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. There was no hesitation. There was no saying, well, I will, just give me a week, give me a month, let me get things in order. No, it's they were there, they were fishing, they had their nets. He called them. He knows the time. And when he called them, he said, now come. I want you to follow me. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. They knew exactly what he was going to do with them. He was going to take them from being fishers of fish to fishers of men. Then, when you come to his calling of John and James, the son of Zebedee, in verse 22, again you see that word, immediately. They left their boat and their father and followed him. Beloved, when God calls you to do something and he tells you now, now is the time to do it. Remember, he is the master and you are the servant. Remember, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the promised one. And if he calls you, then you are to leave everything and you are to follow him. You say, but who's going to take care of me? It was the teacher's responsibility to take care of the disciple. And he will fulfill his responsibility. God's precept for you today is when he asks for obedience, he wants it now. He deserves it now. So do it immediately.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.